Today's shiur is Masecht and the Darim, Daf Ayin Aleph, and we will begin on Daf Ayin Aleph, Amud Aleph, at the Mishnah. To review two of the halachas that we have been discussing at length in our shiurim this perek. One is that a girl who is a nara, murasa, her father and her oris, her father and her husband are made for Nedarim, her Nedarim jointly. We have also learned earlier in our perek the concept of the Nesroikna, which means that if the husband passes away, the father assumes the husband's share in being made for the Nedarim. However, vice versa, if the father were chas v'shalom to pass away, the husband does not assume his share and the afara of the Nedarim. Teaches us the Mishnah, Nadra v'hi Arusa, if a girl made a neder while she was still in Arusa, and Nis'arsa b'yoyim, and she got divorced from her Oris that day, and then got married to a different Oris, the halach is afilu l'meya, even if this happened to 100 different men, the halach is aviyah u'balo akra mefin nedareha. Her father and her last husband are mefa hanedarim, because, as we will learn in Mitzvah Shem and the Gemara, the last oris takes over the position of the previous oris, and therefore the last oris, together with the father, are mefa the nedarim. Zeh klal, says the Mishnah, a rule. Kol shlo yotzel rishus atzma sha'achas, as long as she does not go out to her own rishus, that means that she doesn't become a begeris or a nesua, avio bala achra mefin nedareha, her father and her husband are made for her nedarim. For when she becomes a begeris or nesua, she no longer is in the rishus of the father, and her father no longer can be made for her nedarim. Our Gemara Mitzvah Shem will teach us that the Mishnah is coming to add this klal, this rule, to teach us that not only that when she becomes a nesua, does she leave her father's rishus, her father no longer has any jurisdiction to be made for her nedarim, but even in a situation of masar av l'shluchei habal, where her father gave her over to the messengers of the husband, is there already the halacha that she's not considered anymore in the rishus of her father. As we quoted in the previous year, the opinion of the Ran and of most Rishonim is that a girl who became umoresis as a nara, even if she becomes a bogeres, and only makes nedarim after she became a bogeres, the halach is those nedarim cannot be mufar, because she started off as a nara murasa, whose nedarim are released jointly by the father and the husband. Here her father can no longer be made for her nedarim because she's a bageres, so neither of them can be made for her nedarim. The Tosfos Rid has a more lenient opinion than the Ran, and the Tosfos Rid's opinion certainly is that any nedarim that she made while she was a nara and now she became a bogeris cannot be released, because her father no longer has the ability to release those nedarim. But the nedarim, he says, that she only makes after she's a bogeris, even though she's only a mureses, says the Tosfos Rid, those nedarim, the orus, the husband, will be able to be made for himself. Most Rishonim also explain that our Mishnah that uses the words boy b'yoyim, that all of these incidents happened in the same day, is very exact. Because we know the halach is that once the father hears of a neder, or the husband hears of the neder, there's a halacha of b'yoyim shamay, that neder can only be mufar on the day of hearing. So here, if the neder was heard by the father, the hafara has to take place all in that same day. Rav Aaron Kotler, however, says that if the first Oris had not been aware of the even if the first Oris had been aware of the nether, but she did not become Mureses that same day to the new Oris. She only became Mureses later time to that new Oris. Since for this new Oris, he wasn't aware of the nether until that later time, so that's considered the Yom Shomoy of that new Oris, and therefore he could still be made from the Darim on a later day. However, the Or Sameach says that since, as we will learn in Mitzvah Shem in the Gemara, the second Oris takes over the place of the first Oris, and just like the first Oris heard that nether that day, it's for him the Yom Shammai, the second Oris who's replacing him, it now becomes his Yom Shammai, and therefore our Mishnah is very exact in speaking that everything happened within one day. The Rashba attempts to suggest that if the husband was not aware of the nether while he was still alive, and certainly the father was not made for the nether while the first Oris was alive, so going back to concepts that we have discussed earlier in our perek, this nether has not been really weakened at all. The Oris wasn't aware of it. The father wasn't made for it. And then, says the Rashba, we will apply the concept of Nisroikna, and that the father alone is made for the Nedarim if the first Oris dies or divorces his wife. Most Rishonim disagree with the Rashba, and they explain our Mishnah to be teaching us that once there's a second Oris here in place, it makes no difference that what the first Oris did do, the second Oris replaces the first Oris in being the one to be made for the Nedarim. The Rishonim also point out that the discussion of our Mishnah, that this woman was Mureses and got divorced and then became Mureses to another man, etc., is really a situation that is only mutter b'dievet. Because the halacha, as we learned in Masechta Yevamos, is that a woman whose marriage terminates should not get remarried for 90 days, the days of Avchana, because if she's pregnant, we need to want to be clear with the paternity of her child. And therefore, a woman should not get married again in the same day. She has to wait 90 days. Although, as we learned in Masechta Nedarim, in Masechta Yevamos, there's a machloikis Tanoim. The Tanakama says that all women have to wait 90 days. Even a woman who was only Mureses, that really never had relations with her husband, and there is no question that if she is pregnant or not. It's the however, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi hold that if there was only Erisin, we don't have to wait 90 days. So some Rishonim suggest that our Mishnah is following the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi, that since the woman was only Mureses, she doesn't have to wait the 90 days. Other Rishonim suggest that our Mishnah even follows the opinion of the Tanakama, who although he holds, the Tanakama Masechta Yevamos, who although he holds that a woman should not get remarried even after Erisin for the first 90 days, does agree that b'di'eved, if she got remarried, the marriage is effective. And of course it makes sense to say so, because the din that she's not supposed to get remarried is only a din d'rabbanon. The kedusha would be a kedusha d'araisa, and a din d'rabbanon does not have the ability to avoid a kedusha d'araisa. However, the question that the achrayim ask is that we will in Mitzvah Shem learn the din that there is a concept of shniyos, also a concept that we discussed in Masechta Yevamos. Those are arayos midrabbonim. Again, midaraisa, these women and men may marry each other. It's only midrabbonim that they're not allowed to be married. It's what is known as shniyos. And the Gemara and Mitzvah Shem will tell us that since this is an unacceptable marriage midrabbonim, Chazal say that the husband does not have the right to be made for the nedarim under those circumstances. So now the question comes up, if wherever a marriage took place which Chazal are unsatisfied with, the din of Afara doesn't apply. So in our Mishnah also, according to the Tanakhama, this woman should not have gotten remarried. So why do we still give the husband, why do Chazal still allow her husband to have the right to be mefer? So I saw two explanations in the Achronim how to answer this question. Some suggest there's a difference between Shniyos and the case of our Mishnah. Shniyos, there's a problem with this man and woman. They were related to each other and therefore should not be married. Here the issue is not the man and woman. Here it's only an issue of timing, that they should have waited the 90 days to get remarried. That is not identical where Chazal will have made a gzeira that the husband loses the ability to be made for his wife's nedarim. Another teretz that I saw is the where did Chazal say that if a marriage took place which they're not satisfied with midrabbanan, the husband loses the right to be mefer? That's in a situation where the marriage is, where it was done b'mezid. They were aware that Chazal didn't want this marriage to take place. However, where the marriage took place, where it was a shayig, the man and woman weren't aware that there's a halacha of afchana, that they're not supposed to get married for 90 days, there Chazal were not that strict and still gave the husband, continued to give him the right to be mefer in the dor. The Sefer Shema Shloima uses our Mishnah to explain the concept that we learned in our Mishnah, to explain the psukim that we have quoted a number of times in Parashas Matos. In Parashas Matos, that discusses the parasha of Hafaras Nedarim, as we recall, the Torah first tells us that a girl who's single, her father has jurisdiction over her to be made for her Nedarim. Then we have the parasha Pasuk Zayin, Vem Hayasiyah, which we have been explaining, refers to a Nara Murasa, that her husband and her father are made for her Nedarim together. Then the Torah speaks about a Ned Almana Vagrusha, the Ned of an Almana and a Grusha that don't have a husband. And then the Torah goes back to speak about Nesua, whose husband is made for Hanadorim himself. And the question is obvious. Shouldn't the Torah have first completed speaking about the different married women, the single woman, the Arusa and the Nesua, and only afterwards speak about the Amana Grusha? Why does the Torah interrupt between the Arusa and the Nesua to speak about the Amana Vagrusha? So he explains, based on the concept that we've just learned in our Mishnah, that even though normally when a woman is divorced, the relationship with her previous husband is completely severed, but our Gemara is teaching us that that's not really completely the case, because our Gemara is teaching us that they still do have, that the original husband does still have some effect here, because as we're explaining, because of the original husband's original relationship, now the second husband who takes over his place, the halacha is also is mefer under most circumstances in conjunction with the father. So we see that even though they're divorced, he still carries rights and abilities here, and that's the lesson of the Torah that teaches us the din of Amon of a Grusha between the parasha of an Arusa and an Nesua. Says the Gemara, Menola. And the obvious question the Gemara asks, Menolan the Oris Achron Meif Nedarim Shenir Loris Rishon. How does the second Oris take over the Nedarim that the first Oris made? Amr Shmuel. So Shmuel says, Amr Krab, because the Pasuk says, Vim Haya Siya Leish Unedira Lea Nedarim Shaya Lekvar. The Torah teaches us that even the Nedarim that this woman had on her previously are to be Mufar by the Oris. Ask the Gemara, Dil Mahani Mili Shalai Niril Oris Rishin Avil Nedarim Shaniril Oris Rishin Moi Matzumei for Oris Achron. Perhaps where do we say that the second husband, the second Oris, takes over those Nedarim? We're only referring to Nedarim that the first husband was never aware of, but Nedarim that the first husband were aware of, maybe those Nedarim are not to be mufar by the second husband. And the Ran and the Rashba give us two ways of understanding the Gemara's question. One way of understanding the Gemara's question is that in a situation that the Nedarim were already, the first husband was already aware of those Nedarim, there the halacha would be that we would apply the concept of Nisroikna, that if the first husband is no longer in the picture, he died or divorced his wife, the father takes over his share and the father's meif in the darim himself. That's one approach in the Ran and Rajba. The other approach in the Ran and the Rajba is just the opposite. That since these Nadarim were already, the first Aris was already aware of those Nadarim, so the second Aris can't just replace the first Aris, and therefore these Nadarim will never be able to be revoked. Because the first Aris obviously can't revoke them, because he's not married to this woman anymore. The second Aris can't be made for them, because these were Nadarim that were already known to the first Aris. And therefore, since neither Aris has the ability to be made for these Nadarim, and a father isn't made for the Nadarim of an Arusa himself, where there is an Aris alive, therefore this woman will be left with these Nadarim that they cannot be revoked at all. That's the Gemara's question. Answers the Gemara, Allah Kroy Sayrihi. The entire pasuk of Allah is extra to teach us that under all circumstances, whether the first Aris was aware of those Nadarim, or whether the first Aris was not aware of the Nadarim, when she becomes married to the second Aris, the halach is that the second Aris replaces the first Aris and is made for those Nadarim. Says the Gemara Tanya Kavasi de Shmuel. And as the Ran and other Rishonim explain these words of Tanya Kavasi de Shmuel, they say typically when we have a Gemara saying Tanya Kavasei, what the Gemara means to do is say that Shmuel just taught us something, and what Shmuel just taught us we find explicitly in a Braisa. That's not what the Braisa that we're going to learn in Mitzvah Shem now tells us. The Braisa that we're going to learn now doesn't speak about the pasuk that we just learned, the pasuk of Hallel, that teaches us that the husband and the father, that the husband, the new husband, takes over the place of the old husband. What the Brice is going to do is the following, say to Rishonim. Shmuel had an understanding of our Mishnah. Shmuel understood that our Mishnah is referring to a situation both where the first Aris was aware of the Nadarim that his wife made, or was not aware of the Nadarim his wife made. And Shmuel teaches us that under both circumstances, if the woman becomes again a murasa, her second husband joins with her father in being made for the Nadarim. And that's why Shmuel had to find a pasuk to corroborate that understanding of the Mishnah. Says the Gemara, we are now going to identify a braisa that indeed teaches us that even in the case where the first husband was aware of the Nadarim, and now she became a Muresis again, the second husband takes over the ability to be made for those Nadarim. Says the Gemara, Tanya Kavasa de Shmuel. We learned in a braisa. Nara Murasa. We have a girl who's Murasa. We know what halacha is. Ovio Bala Meifir Nadarel. Her husband and her father Meifir Nadarim. Continue to braisa Kaitzer. What does that mean? Shom Avio Vehefala. If a father heard of the nether, and he was made for the nether. V'loy hispik habal l'shmoy atshemes. And the husband never was aware of the nether until he passed away. V'nis'ar s'boy b'yoyim afil me'el pomim. And this girl became murasus again, even 100 times. The halacha is, oviu bala akram afir nederah. Her father and her husband are made for the nederim. The second husband takes over the place of the first husband. The Ran, and this is the crux of what we have here, on Amud Aleph and Amud Beis, very long Ran, explains the Gemara in the following way. He says, even though we learned a Gemara on Daf Samach Tes Amud Aleph, when we were learning the long Braisa that was teaching us the Halachas of Nisroikna, and the Braisa over there taught us that a Machloikis of Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai, where Beis Hillel says, Shoma Avia Vehefala, if a father heard of the nether and was made for it, and then the husband passes away, the halacha is that we do not say Nisroikna. And as we explained Beis Hillel's opinion according to the Ran, because the nether has been so weakened by the father's hafara, we cannot apply the concept of Nisroikna. So ask the Ram, isn't that the case that we just discussed in our Brisa here? Shama via Vehefilo, that the father heard of the nether, so why are we saying that this nether can't still be revoked? Answers the Ram. There's a fundamental difference between the Gemara here and the Gemara in Daf Samach Tes. In the Gemara over here, says the Ram, there is a new husband. So since the new husband takes the place of the first husband, it's not just the father alone who's going to be made for the Nedarim. There the halacha will be that even Beis Hillel will agree that this neder can still be mufar through the father and the new husband. And actually the Mefarshim point out, according to the Ramban, who we quoted when we learned the sugya Daf Samach Tes, that Ramban said that even according to Beis Hillel, who said in Daf Samach Tes, that Shema Viv Heifalo, Vlahispik Abal Lahifer at Shemes, we don't say the concept of the Sreikna, but we quoted a Ramban who says that if when the father will be Mefer, he won't just come to be Mefer, the portion of the husband who passed away. He'll also be re-Mefer. He will again revoke the portion that he was already Mefer. There the Ramban said that even Beis Hillel agrees that we will allow that type of afara. Say to Mefarshim, we can now understand our Mishnah, our Braisa. Because here, we again have such a situation that the entire nether is again being tackled. The father being made for again his portion. The husband, the new husband, being made for the husband, the original husband's portion. So we have the entire nether being tackled. And as we explained, according to the opinion of the Ramban, when the entire nether is again being reviewed, everybody, including Beis Hillel, says we say the concept of afara, which is exactly what the Brice is saying. Although, there is a Rajba who wants to suggest that our Brice speaks about a case of Shama via Vehefala, Vlahispa Kabbalah Lishmaya Achemes, that our Brice is referring only to a situation where a first husband was never aware of the nether. But let's say the first husband, well, we'll have two things happening here. Number one, the father heard of the nether and was made for it. And number two, the husband had heard the nether, just he never had the opportunity to be made for it prior to terminating the marriage. Says the Rajba that when we will have all of those circumstances, even Beis Shammai, and certainly Beis Hillel will hold that there, this nether no longer could be revoked. That's the Rajba's opinion. This nether has been too weakened to be allow it to be revoked again. However, the Torah disagrees with the Rajba. The Torah holds that even though our Braisa mentioned the case of Lehispe Kabbalah Lishmayat Shemes, it doesn't really make a difference. Even if the husband had heard, just was not made for prior to divorcing the wife or dying, and then the wife became umuresis again, if you will join the father and the wife, And the new Oris, the nether could still be mufar under all circumstances. This is opinion of the Ran in explaining our Gemara, our Braisa. However, the Ran quotes Tosfos, and this is also the opinion of the Rosh, who disagree. And they say that since we learned the Gemara in Daf Samach Tes, that whenever we have a situation of Shama Avia Vehefala, we don't say Nisroikna. According to Beis Hillel, since the father so weakened the nether with his afara, this nether cannot be revoked again according to Beis Hillel, even if the new Oris joins in the new hafara. And this opinion that our Mishnah says, that Avi Obal or Achron, Mefirin the Derea, according to the opinion of Tosfos and the Rosh, only reflects Beis Shammai's opinion. But now we have the next case, where we have a situation of Shama Baal of a Hefala. The husband heard of the nether, and he was made for it. And the father never had an opportunity to know of the nether, be made for it, until the husband passes away. So, says the Braisa, Chayzer Ava Mefer Chalke Shabal. According to the opinion of Beis Shammai, the father assumes the place of the husband, and the father is made for the husband's share and his share. This is a classical case of Nisroikna. Abes Haimraimim and Yochel Hafer. According to Beis Hillel, the father is not made for himself. Rather, the father and the second Oris are made for together, because this is the point that Shmuel made to us. The second Oris has the right to be made from the Dorim that were under the jurisdiction of the first Oris. So even though we have here a nether that the first Oris was even Mefer, so it was certainly under his jurisdiction, the second Oris has the right to be made for those Nedarim. So before we go any further, we already have a proof to Shmuel's opinion that the second Oris is made from Nedarim that were under the jurisdiction of the first Oris. Says the Gemara, B'mai Pligi, what is the basis of the Machloikus of Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel? If in this situation, where the first Oris heard of the nether, was made for the nether, before the father could hear and be made for his portion, that do we have to have the father and the husband be made for together or not? Says the Gemara, Beis Shammai Savri, Nedarim Nami Shiroi L'Oris Rishroik L'Rishos L'Av, that even the Nedarim that were under the jurisdiction of the first Oris go completely to the father, because Beis Shammai of the opinion of Megas Gaius that what Hafara accomplishes, as we discussed on Daf Samach Tes, is that it cuts the nether in half, and therefore the Oris's portion was completely cut, the father's portion is completely intact, the Oris's portion was completely removed through his Hafara. However, since he passed away prior to the father being able to revoke his share, his hafara becomes null and void, and therefore we apply the concept of Nisroikna, and the father takes over the entire hafara process, both his own share and the share that had been previously revoked by the Oris. However, Beis Hillel of the opinion of Vio Bala Achmafir in the Dera, because their opinion, because Leumegas guys, they don't hold that the first husband was completely took away half the nether. He weakened the nether. But he only weakened the nether to the degree that the father could be made from the nether by himself if there is no Oris. And if there is an Oris, the second Oris assumes the position of the first Oris, and by assuming the position of the first Oris, he now will have to be made for together with the father, the new nether. Most, again, if we reflect on the machloikas between the Ran and Taisus and the Rosh, here they do not disagree. Here all opinions agree that in understanding Beis Hillel, that in this case, where it was the husband, not the father, who did the first afara and then passed away, that and then the woman became Muresis again, that this nether is revoked jointly by the father and the new Oris. Says the Gemara, Ibayiluhu. So they, in the yeshiva, they asked the following shayla. Gerishin ka kamadami o ka, gerishin kishtika dami o ka kamadami. We have learned that even though a father, a husband, have the right to be made from the Dorim, that's only a nether that wasn't mukam. That's only a nether that wasn't confirmed. However, once a nether is confirmed, the halach is that that nether can no longer be mukam. Furthermore, we have learned that there are two ways of doing hakama. One way of doing hakama is what we've called an active hakama, that the father or the husband actively are making the nether. Another way of doing hakama is by remaining silent the entire yom shamay, the entire day that they heard the nether, they remain silent. And if that yom shamay passes, then there is a hakama. As our Gemara, a wife made a nether. And as the Ran explains, the wife that we're referring to in our Mishnah, in our Gemara now, must be an Arusa. Because by a Nesua, the shaila that our Gemara will pose is not passable. And we'll explain when we get to the shaila in a moment why. So we have here a situation that there's a woman who's an arusa, whose father and husband are jointly meifa and nedarim. Her husband was aware of the neder and was not meifrit, but divorced her. And the question we need to understand is, how do we look at the gerushin? Do we look at the gerushin as shtika? He didn't react to the nether. He's aware of the nether, but he did not react to the nether. Or do we view the gerushin as an akama? The husband knew that once he'll be megarish the wife, he will no longer have the ability to revoke the nether. Obviously, once they're not married, there's no husband-wife relationship that he could be made for the nether. By him going and divorcing the wife without first being made for the nether, what he's actually saying, suggests the Gemara, is I'm being mekayim the nether. And what would be the nafkamina? Kegon shenodra, that she made the nether. V'shama bala, her husband, the oris, is aware of the nether. V'girsha, and he divorces her. V'hadra b'yoymer, but he takes her back on that very same day. I amamar k'shtika dami, if it's only considered like a shtika, but not like an act of hakama, as long as it's the yoim shamay, he still has the ability to be made for it. However, and therefore matzi meifala, he could still be made for this nether. However, if we view the gerushin only as, if we view the gerushin as an act of hakama, as we said before, once there's an act of hakama, this nether can no longer be mufar. The Amamar, because if we're going to hold that the gerushin is considered like an act of hakama, the loch is lematzah meifala, it can no longer be mufar, it can no longer be revoked, it was actively confirmed. So now we need to explain what the Ran said. The Ran said that our Gemara here is referring to an arusa, because it can't be referring to an asua. He explains why. Because if the husband now takes her back with Erisin, and the halacha would be that the Orus should be made for the nether, we can't be made for the nether, because an Orus is not made for the Doran by himself, and the father can't be made for the nether, because she was ready once in the Suah. And as we learned at the beginning of the Shir, once a girl is at one point of her life on the Suah, the halach is, she leaves her father's rishos, that her father no longer can be meifa on the darim. So if she was on the sua and now became mureses, there's no question that this nether cannot be mufar. The father can't be a partner. What will we say? That she was in the sua and the husband took her back again in the suin. There too, the Gemara's question would not be relevant. For as we have learned, a nasui, a husband who's completely married to his wife, cannot be made for bekoidman, cannot be made for nedarim that we hear previously, and this is bekoidman. So it must be a situation, explains the Ran, that the woman was an arusa and the husband became aware of the nether, divorced her from the erisin and took her back with erisin. And the Gemara's question now is, was that get a hakama, and therefore this nether can never be revoked? Is the nether only considered like is the get only considered like a shtika, and that the husband and the father will be able to be made for the nether? And the Rishonim point out that the Gemara could have actually asked the Shaila, not if the same Orus took her back, but even if a different Orus took her back. Because as we learned in the previous sugya, the second Orus assumes the position of the first Orus, and therefore the Gemara's question would be just as relevant to a second Orus. Do we look at it as hakama, that the nether can no longer be revoked? Or do we not look at it as hakama, and now the father with the second Orus would be the ones being made for the nether, if it's not considered a nether that was actively confirmed? Why did the Gemara choose to speak about the case where was the Oris, the original Oris, that took it back? So most Rishonim explain, because that's the typical case. The typical case is that the same Oris takes her back on the same day. That she'll get married to a different man on the same day is unlikely. However, there are Rishonim, and this goes back to something we discussed at the beginning of this year, that say that if it's the second Oris who's taking her back, so we quoted the opinion of Rabbi Aaron Cutler, that he is not limited to the din of that day, a boy b'yoyim. He could be made for the nether at a later date. Our Gemara is referring to a situation where it's all on the same day. For the same day would have to be the original Oris. The Rush points out that our Gemara is referring to a situation where he divorced her boy b'yoyim and took her back that same day. Why does he have to take her back the same day? Because if he's going to take her back on another day, it will already be after Yom Shammai. And after Yom Shammai, we know that an Oris certainly can no longer be made for the nether. So it has to be that he took her back on that same day. But the Rush points out that the Yerushalmi disagrees with the Bavli in this subject. Because what do we have here in a situation? Let's analyze the situation. The husband is married to the wife in the morning, still married, or with Erison, is aware of the nether, divorces her, and we have the rest, middle of the day, and we have the rest of the day. So the question is the rest of the day still considered a Yom Shammai? The Bavli obviously still considered it the Yom Shammai. It's the day that he became aware of the nether. The Yerushalmi, however, says we can't call a day where he wasn't able to be made for the nether as the Yom Shammai. Since, as we learned, after the get was given, he could no longer be made for the nether. It's no longer the Yom Shammai. It's no longer Yom Shammai according to the Yerushalmi. And according to the Yerushalmi, the halacha would be that even afterwards, even the later day, when they would get remarried, that would resurrect the Yom Shammai, and on that day he could still perhaps be made for the nether. Our Gemara, which is so focused on the Hadri B'Yomai, holds that the Yom Shammai is a reality. Today is the day I heard of the husband heard of the nether, and makes no difference that he wasn't able to be made for the nether the entire day because he was already divorced for a portion of the day. The Rush also says that the Gemara could have mentioned in Nafkamina if the father can be made for the nether by himself after the husband divorced her. So, because if it's considered a hakama, the father can no longer be made for. Because we know that a nether was actively confirmed, the father can no longer be made for. But if it's not considered a hakama, since the husband divorced her, and he no longer can be made for, maybe the father can be made for the entire nether by himself because of the concept of Nisroikna. So why doesn't the Gemara ask the Rosh say that that would be the Nafkamina? Could the father be made for the nether by himself after this divorce or not? If it's considered an act of Akoma, the father cannot be made for. If it's not considered an act of Akoma, the father can be made for. So the Rosh answers, since, as we just explained, our Gemara is speaking about B'yoyme, that all this happened in one day. But if the father wasn't aware of the nether, the Rosh, as the Rishash explains the opinion of the Rosh, holds that the father would be able to be made for the nether at a later date, when he becomes aware of the nether. Our Gemara is, as we just explained, focusing that it all happened by B'yoyme. So the father is not limited to that day. For him, it's not the Yom Shammai. That's why the Gemara chose to speak about Yom Shammai, where it's the husband that takes back the wife. The Masham asks that why didn't the Gemara mention another Nafkamina? As we have been discussing this week, we know that besides that a nether could be revoked through Hafara of the husband and the father, husband or the father, a nether could also be annulled through a Chacham. But we explained that many Rishonim hold that once a neder is actively confirmed, that neder can no longer be annulled by a chacham. So as to Masham, we should have said that nafkamina is a very simple nafkamina. If it's considered a hakama, so this neder can no longer be annulled by a rav or a bezdin. If it's only considered shtika, the neder can still be annulled by a rav or bezdin. Says the Masham, since we explained that our Gemara is referring to an arusa, as the Ran explained it, it has to be referring to an arusa. And the halacha we is by an arusa that a father and a husband are mefa hanadarim jointly. Says the Masham, even the Rishonim that hold that a neder that was confirmed can no longer be annulled by a rav and a bezdin, that's if the confirmation was a complete confirmation, meaning that it's a neder that only needs the confirmation of the father, only needs the confirmation of the husband. So once they actively confirm the neder, that neder cannot be annulled. But since we're speaking here about an arusa, where the father and the husband are partners in the afara of the neder, if we'll have a situation that only one of them was making the neder, yes, the neder is mekuyim. Yes, this neder could no longer be mufer. But this neder is not considered so strong already that a rav could not be mat to the neder. And therefore, since it was only the husband, that perhaps if we say gerushin is akama, did akama, and not the father, therefore the neder could still be annulled by a rav, and that's why that couldn't be the nafkamina that the Gemara is referring to. Our Gemara, the Ritvaz, discusses, we know, is referring to a situation of machzor grushasai, that a man divorced his wife, an oros divorced his wife, and is taking her back. The Ritvaz discusses the halacha is that a couple, the Gemara says Masechta Nida, can never get married without the woman having zayin nekiyim. She has to count 7 days of not seeing any discharge, because as the Gemara explains, there's dam chimud. There's the excitement of getting married, the excitement of the proposal of getting married could cause a woman to have a discharge, and she has to have zayin nekiyim. The question is that a halacha that a woman that gets married requires zayin nekiyim also by machzor grushasai? So the Ritvaz wants to suggest that since our Gemara refers to a situation where the husband divorced her and takes her back on the same day, that there is no din of Zayin Nekiyim by a Machzor Grushasai. And the reason would be because there's not that much of excitement because they were already once married. The Ritvaz and the Paiskam ever make the following distinction. They say two distinctions. One is perhaps only in our Gemara where they got divorced and remarried all on the same day. So there's really not that much excitement. They were really never that much divorced. That there's an excitement in the remarriage. That's where there's a halacha with Zayin Nekiyim and not required. However, had they been divorced for interval, there is an excitement in the her getting remarried. There would be a bit of Zayin Nekiyim. And the Paiskim seem to make the following distinction. They say that in a situation where they got divorced, but the woman was always expecting to get remarried, she somehow had a feeling that this was only a temporary situation, they were not concerned for Dam Chimud, and there would not be a requirement for Zayin Nekiyim. However, in a situation where they got divorced, and the woman felt that this was a complete termination of the original marriage, and she did not expect that they would get remarried, there, when the husband does want to remarry her, there is a concern for Dam Chimud, and Zayin Nekiyim should be waited.